All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You're watching Oil Nation Every Day with Tyler Yaremchuk, your one-stop shop for all things Oilers.
Good afternoon and welcome to Oilers Nation Every Day, The Lead.
You want to host the whole show today? That was excellent.
We could. Coming up on today's show, we have Game Notes, A Giant Question, Stephen Ellis, Betway, and much, much more across this next hour of show on Oilers Nation YouTube channel, where if you want to comment in the Charm Diamond Center YouTube chat, you have to subscribe to the show, but we'll read your comments throughout.
We will. We're also live from the Sports Closet studio. It is a Sherwood Ford Giant Game Day edition of the program, as the Oilers are not just back on home ice, but looking to get back in the win column after a not great first week back from the All-Star break.
Does anyone see that Liam's more high tempo than Tyler? Anyone witness that?
High tempo?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Someone said you seemed enthused about the start of the show. Tash been holding
me back. I love being here.
Yeah,
I love being here. I can tell because you're watching a Crusaders game right now.
Big game.
Are they playing right now?
Spruce Grove, Hockey Day.
Why would they do that on a Tuesday?
Well, here's a funny story, Jay. One time we did it on a Wednesday, and next thing you know, third period's about to start, and everybody's leaving. So I like pulled aside one of the teachers like, where's everybody going? It's like early dismissal, first Wednesday of the month.
Oh, I thought maybe because it was Cheesecake Wednesday.
Nope. Third period came around. There was literally nobody in the stands. It was a crazy event.
Yeah, I went to a hockey day. That was my only Bakersfield Condors game.
Oh, I didn't know they did it.
A lot of kids screaming at the top of their lungs, dancing to all the top 40 that was being played. Anton Shlepyshev just lighting it up.
Sleppy, Tony Slepp. I miss Tone. Yeah. I'd bring him back. 1 year deal, show me contract, PTO, midseason PTO. One of those, like what Puljujärvi got with the Penguins.
Literally everyone on the Oilers' fourth line.
Well, you can't go that far, but we'll talk about that a little bit today on the show. It is a game against the Red Wings coming up tonight. So we're going to be talking about that. What did you just put in there? Oh, this. Leave
more of it. Just in case.
That is funny. You never know. I could leave and the show would be totally fine.
I made that myself.
We got
game notes. Liam has something he wants to show us later on in place of the mock trade.
Yeah, but I don't have a trade. Like, I have the player I want, and I have no idea how we'll get him.
Well, so
Sidney Crosby?
No, but that would have been good. That would have been good.
We'll work through the problem together. I like that. Also, Stephen Ellis, our Daily Faceoff prospect analyst, he wrote an article over at dailyfaceoff.com. 5 teams with the most prospects that they could move ahead of the deadline. And the Oilers were on that list.
What?
So we're going to bring Stephen Ellis on to talk to us a little bit about that and who he could see the Oilers potentially moving on from. But first off, game tonight against the Red Wings, weird little kind of bounce back spot for the Oilers. If they win tonight, I'm not worried. If you lose tonight and it's like, okay, you've come out of the break and lost to the Wings, lost to the Golden Knights, lost to the Kings, didn't play great against the Ducks. And if you lose to the Red Wings on home ice, I'm kind of going to sit there and be a little like, what's going on here? Just a little bit, not panic mode. I won't lose
faith in this team, but there'll be question marks. They should bounce back. Like, you could see, like, that was an emotionally exhausting game against Vegas. Like, big stakes on the line. We played our asses off. Didn't get the outcome we wanted. Kind of laid an egg Anaheim, but we got the W. And you just see that we were just totally kind of on E. Against the Kings, and just like simple stuff that we normally don't do is happening. Like Connor losing control of the puck, which is like, that's just weird, right? So like, this is like, that's a signal, right? So yeah, I expect them, you know, that was on Saturday. This is Tuesday, bounce back. Connor's running hills last night, as we saw on social media. Yeah. So like, he's taking this by the bull by the horns and taking this head on. So I'm expecting this just to be, you know, you can't discount Detroit. You know, they'll put out an effort. They got some skill players.
Been playing good as of late, 7-2-1 in their last 10.
But you got to get that W, because you're right. It would be considered a slide.
Yeah. So
it would be sliding.
All three of the Oilers' opponents this week, the Blues, the Stars, and the Red Wings, all have 7 wins in their last 10 games. So there's not really an easy spot on the bingo card, which again, I think considering you have 2 road games to end the week in St. Louis and then in Dallas, that puts more pressure on you needing to win tonight. Like, your home schedule later in the month, sure, but you're going to head out on the road, play a couple of teams that are playing really well right now, take care of the one on home ice. I think, you know, there's a bit more emphasis on this game than maybe there is on the game on Thursday or even the game on Saturday. If they lose one of those two, I'm not going to be upset. But if you lose both of those and you lose tonight, now we're starting to freak out a little bit. So take care of business tonight. I think it's an important game, even though it's cross conference, all that stuff.
Yeah, I think they need to kind of get back on track a little bit, don't they? But didn't they do this right before they went on the 16-game streak as well? Lost 3.
Well, it was they won 8, lost 3, won 16, and now we're in whatever we're in right now.
If you want 32 in a row, this is what we got to go through.
You got to lose 6?
No, just 3 again.
There's 3. 3 is the reset?
But I almost count Anaheim as a loss in a way. I know they won, but it wasn't a good game.
They played terribly.
Yeah, so they've had 3 bad games in a row. We'll put it at that.
Yeah, 100%.
So 32 starts tonight. But I think what's the thing too? It's like they have 33 games in NS 66 days or something.
Yeah,
like
that. Tony had a tweet about that.
They got a crappy finale to the season.
We had a real
16 game heater was clutch.
Yeah, well, we had a breeze of a January, not like opponents wise, although a little bit opponents wise, but
just every Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday.
Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. Like, you were in this rhythm, and now it's like, okay, the flip side of getting to have a breeze of a January is, you're going to have a gauntlet at some point. And it was Tony Brar who said, tonight begins a stretch where the Oilers will play their final 34 games of the regular season over 66 days. That's a lot of hockey. That's more games than days off.
Yep.
So giddy up.
A lot of good teams in that too. You still have to play Vegas and one more time.
Got to play LA. Got to play Boston in there. You got to play Pittsburgh's not been great this year, but Pittsburgh, I know, is on the schedule twice.
There's a lot to play for.
That'll be an interesting game. Granted, it's 10:30 in the morning our time.
Is it?
Or something. It's super early.
It's 1 p.m.
our time?
Yep.
Yeah, it is.
Maybe it's a different Dallas game?
No. Why did I have 10:30? It doesn't matter.
They play the Sabres on the 9th at 10:30
a.m. Yeah, sure. Yeah, whatever.
Got to be it.
But that'll be a good kind of telltale game. Like, Dallas is a good squad. See how we measure up against them.
Yeah.
Like kind of a different look. We played Vegas already a couple times, gotten to take a peek of that.
Dallas best team in the Central as well. So, all right, let's get into what everyone is saying over in the Charm Diamond Centers YouTube chat before we get to everything else we got going on today. I need to give some love to Charm Diamond Centers, proudly Canadian owned, and it has been that way since 1972. More than 85 locations across the country through Charm and their sister brands. You can get a ring custom built and delivered in less than 4 weeks with the Charm Masterpiece Program. Unbeatable pricing policy. Find out more about all that at charmdiamondcenters.com. Christopher Palmer said he will be there in Dallas with McMullet. And then they're meeting us in Arizona for the Nation Vacation. So giddy up. That's going to be a lot of fun.
McMullet's on his world tour right now.
Yeah, he's at like every road game.
Jeez, yeah. I wonder if he's how he's getting. He must be flying around because that's a lot of terrain.
Yeah.
Or you could skate around like Cody Ceci.
Hey, Waddy, that's intense. Worry about burnout and injury. I think, you know, depth, we're definitely going to need it here. And I wouldn't be surprised if at some point in the next month, we see Philip Broberg back up with the big club, just because, again, it's a lot of hockey. Guys are going to get worn down. Guys are going to need nights off.
Just make a trade.
Could also make a trade. That also ties in a little bit to what you said, Liam, with the bottom six not exactly pulling their weight right now. Like having more than just the big guns going is also going to be massive as the schedule gets more intense, because it can't just be Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl for 34 of the final 62 games of the season, or 62 days of the season.
But this is when Connor does heat up, though.
He's a March player. He loves March and April. So that's fair as well.
That third line, no, that's a step up tonight. They need to prove everybody wrong. Well, how many minutes did you say they played yesterday? 80-something?
Together, or 41 minutes together, that third line. They have not scored a goal in those 41 minutes. That's 40-some shifts, you know, where you have not scored one single goal. That's not good enough, man. Not good enough. The Oilers are expected to line up like this for tonight's game against the Red Wings. Top six stays the same. Don't hate that. Bottom six, well, you're mixing in Gagné over Matthias Janmark. I like having Sam Gagné out there on home ice. That third line, though, I mean, running out of patience is how I describe my feelings towards it.
I don't know why we're back. Like, why are we back here? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that second line was having so much success.
How come Fogle can't drive this third line?
They don't play well together. Corey Perry on that line was perfectly fine. They gave it one game and that was it. I don't get it.
But now the issue is Perry, Draisaitl, and Kane have actually been...
They were good.
They've been too good, and you don't want to break them up, right?
I know, and it's...
They've been a force. Well, just this just tells you the holes we need to address. Mm-hmm. It's glaring now.
With this lineup, yes. Yeah. But I just think the players are actually there to, if they're put in the correct positions where we've seen them succeed.
But they shouldn't... Liam.
No, I get it. Like
they shouldn't be second line players.
But if they perform, why not? Like I'm not saying they shouldn't go out and get somebody, but those guys were in those positions and the only line better than them.
The whole team was on a heater.
But the two best players, the two scoring players were McLeod and Fogle.
Yeah, I know. So like they just had like, and like that is not a sustainable situation for them.
Maybe not, but for them to go from scoring 15 points over, what was it, 12 games, something like that, maybe a bit closer to 15, to basically having zero now is too dramatic of a drop-off.
Fogle and had 15 and 16.
There you go. But the only thing that's changed is that Fogle and McLeod aren't playing on that second line anymore.
Yeah, this shows the power of Leon Draisaitl.
Exactly. And it's been a struggle to find players to play with Draisaitl.
Let's get him a really good 3C.
Well, maybe we will.
Oh, that tells you get him a really good 3C.
Move McLeod to the wing.
I think that might be the play.
Oh, so now we're back to Boone Jenner.
Huh? Can we just get into it, Liam? Play the clip.
Is
this your thing?
Made my new lineup.
Okay, wait. You gotta set it up. Okay, well, it's all going to be a part of the mock trade for the day, which you all know is brought to you by Service Credit Union. Liam's lineup today is fake, but what's real is the Service Big Share Contest. Back for a sixth year, and it's your chance to win $1 million just by saving money. Anyone can enter, and for every $500 you save, you get 5 entries into the Service Big Share Contest. You can even transfer your existing savings to Service for a chance to win $1 million. Maybe you take the million, donate it to the Oilers as cap space. The contest ends April 30th, 2024. Skill test required. For rules, visit service.ca/win. We're getting to this earlier on in the show, but Liam's fired up. Explain to me what you've done. What is this?
So I went on to dailyfaceoff.com.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
And I copy, great website. Great. One of the best. I copy and pasted the jerseys onto a piece of paper. And I made,
I made a lineup individually. I can see
individually.
Them.
Back in the good old days of when we used to do it on the green screen in the other room. That's what I used to do. So I brought back an old little skill of mine. And I came up with my new 2024 Stanley Cup championship lineup. And so the top line is as follows. Nuge, McDavid, Hyman.
I did not see this before. I think I said Boone Jenner is great.
My second line is McLeod, Draisaitl, Fogle. Third line.
Let it go.
Kane, Jenner, Perry.
Okay.
And then my fourth line is Gagner, Holloway, and Brown.
Just we're just one piece away.
Is there a defensive side of this? No, I didn't make a defense. Imagine Chris Tanev on a blue line.
Yep. There we go.
Yeah.
Now so we're talking.
My upgrades. I think if you go and get a strong third line center, it really plays into the puzzle a little bit, and you can put guys in better positions. I think that third line would be an absolute menace.
Yeah.
It would be good.
I like it. I worry that's not enough support for Leon Draisaitl.
No.
But I realize how easy the argument is against that because you can look to a 15-game sample size where that was enough support for Leon
Draisaitl. In a non-playoff environment.
But
that third line will produce in the playoffs.
So then that takes a bit of pressure off the second line.
No. You need your second line to produce. So you probably want to get another piece to plug in there.
But on top of that as well, I think when you look over that 16 game streak and look when those guys are scoring points, like McLeod and Fogle showed up when they needed them against the Rangers in that first game. A lot of those games were very tight games across that entire 16 game streak. There wasn't many blowouts where they were just stacking up points. They were contributing in close contests, which they're not playoff games by any means, but the intensity of like trying to win the game in a close contest was there. I don't disagree that, hey, like Fogle and McLeod haven't exactly been consistent for.
That's a funny comment.
How about Liam?
Could be anything you want.
Liam.
TM.
Get it.
But I think they can thrive. I don't know.
I like that fourth line too. And like, someone earlier was like,
"What's crazy though is those three players all play on our team right now, and they don't play together." Like instead, we have Derek Ryan and Matthias Janmark holding down that line. Like, and Connor Brown, I almost put LeVoir in, but I want to keep Brown in there for the penalty kill reasons. You don't want to mess with that too much.
And because
like,
he's got to score eventually.
He's got
it. You walk up to the roulette table, so it's been red 46 straight times. You bet black.
And if you don't, you bet it again. And then you bet it again.
Son of a bitch, I'm back in.
Yeah, someone earlier was like, oh, you're out of patience with the third line, but not Connor Brown. We are well past the point of being out of patience with Connor Brown. It's at the point where it's like, whatever, he kills penalties, he plays on the fourth line, I don't care anymore. But I don't know, Jay, 15 games, someone said it. 15 games is 15 games.
Rusty, I love you, man. I love you a lot. But the playoffs is a different beast.
But that's why you have that new third line. They're dogs.
Yeah,
they're big dogs.
That's the third line you need in the playoffs, but your second line still needs to be better than that because that line can easily go quiet. Easily go quiet.
Mm.
I can see the argument for sure. I just think
you need another insurance policy.
The Oilers just, there's not a lot to work with. I think if they were to get another forward, they wouldn't be able to improve on their blue line. Hypothetically, if they got.
So would you feel better about this, Jay, if maybe you flipped some things around? Like what if it was McDavid, Fogle, Hyman, you flipped one of them to the left side and then, you know, maybe you have Nuge to dry. I don't like that though.
Like I really love the look of that third line. Like that looks amazing.
Thank you.
It's just the second line is not. It's not enough unless. I don't know. Maybe if you got Jenner and Nick Dowd.
I thought about
that. If you got both, and then that way you can, because you can't have that second line going against like second line.
But how does Nick Dowd help you?
He can, like, you got, if you can give the second line a better matchup, because Nick Dowd can be put up against a shutdown, a tougher line, then maybe if you give them easier conditions.
What if you, well, sorry, just along that line.
You just really load up. Like if you go deep bottom six, that opens up the matchups that second line needs, I can maybe
get on board.
Take a sip of that Kool-Aid.
Well, I think another layer to this too that should be considered. I think it's clear that Warren Fogle isn't good enough to play without Leon Draisaitl.
He needs, but that's fine. Like, that's fine.
He's and new I'm happy
willing to admit that, but that's fine.
But if that's the case, then trade him. Because that's maybe the only way you could likely upgrade on a second line player is if you got rid of
You look at it two different ways. Either we improve the circumstance to give that line in the regular season can perform better matchups so they have a chance in the playoffs because of what you done with your bottom six, or you do what you suggested.
Trade Fogle.
So, but you know, and to now pump Warren Fogle's tires, like he's proven that he can be a shooter for Leon Draisaitl.
Yeah.
Right.
Success.
So he's had success. So like, I agree. Like we shouldn't shy away from that. Mm-hmm. And maybe there's just a different way to look at it where it gives you your second line of your dreams.
My dreams.
But we do some things to just give them the best chance of success in the playoffs.
I think they should.
And we have two third lines as their third, fourth.
Two. Oh, I assume. I think they should.
That's a really good third line.
I think they should put these lines together. Obviously, Boone Jenner, get him if you can. But
even Scott Laughton, I think, would work as that guy.
Yeah, someone like that. They need to get maybe more of a veteran player of that third line. With that said, I think McLeod could succeed there in the playoffs. I just don't think those three guys can succeed there together.
Yeah.
There you go. I'll say that tomorrow for Frank as well.
Yeah, we'll run it past Frank.
Keep it locked and
see what he's got to say. Yeah. There was an article up at OilersNation.com from Sunil, who is very good and he loves the numbers. And I'm always intrigued when he comes up with an idea like this, because if it makes sense to Sunil, it's probably a pretty good thought. What about David Perron? We're going to get a chance to see him tonight for the Detroit Red Wings. 35 years old, 10 goals in 45 games so far this season, but a guy who scored at a 20-plus goal pace, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 straight seasons. This will be potentially number 6 if he heats up a little bit. Pending UFA, cap hit $4.75 million. I don't think Detroit is going to sell, but similar to the idea of New Jersey and Toffoli, if they were, or if Detroit was maybe in a spot where they want to do a little bit of both, would you be open to something like that?
Yes.
Have all our other options gone away? I'm open to it. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Where would you slot them in?
Back up Liam's team.
It's perfect.
So the reason I'm not high on him is because I'm kind of like, okay, if we're talking about a slow boots winger who gets you 15 to 20 some goals, didn't you just get Corey Perry? Like, is David Perron not just Corey Perry again?
Yeah, and Corey Perry probably be a better David Corey Perron. Perry's.
I think Perron has a little bit more gas in the tank, can maybe move a little bit better. But like, you know, I don't love Corey Perry as a second line winger come playoff time. So I'm not sure if I'd love Perron as a second line winger come playoff time. And I'm not sure if they need to be in the market for bottom six wingers. You know, like,
so who are all the options on the right side? Second line right now is Gensel, Tarasenko.
Yeah.
Konechny.
Eberle. Konechny. I
think Konechny's done.
Me too.
Eberle.
What do you mean he's done?
There was reports last week saying like he wants to be a flyer for life.
Bruce Nevich. Ekholm wanted to be a predator for life.
Konechny, come on, man.
Predator.
Yes. Thank you. Thanks for clarifying that, Liam. Everyone would have been so confused with what I meant.
Just don't want any misconception on the show.
Yeah. Anyway, so those are kind of the options for right now.
I like Emily. He'd be good.
Yeah.
Plays 1,000th game as an Oiler. That'd be cool.
Yeah, that'd be really cool. How much?
I love the story of Eberle coming back, but I don't know if he's the guy.
I just looked through all the options and it's like Gensel is one. And I think that's clear and above everyone. And everyone else is kind of like, yeah, he'd be great. But it's like, how much of an upgrade truly is he? I guess, like I said, I like Eberle, but also he has 9 goals this season and Fogle has 12.
Here's one from Jake. Eberle or Perron? Which one would you prefer? I think Eberle, because he brings you a little bit something different.
I think Eberle brings you what you need more than Perron.
I just like,
but I love Perron.
Cup winner, like, he's got the dog in him.
You don't think Eberle would have the dog in him?
Well, fuck. Well, not to Perron's level.
Pretty good in the playoffs as of late.
I'm not slight. This is not a slight against Eberle. This is just saying Perron has got that dog.
And he had a fight this year. Both players been suspended this season.
Oh yeah.
He's getting like grizzly, yeah. You know, in his old age.
It's an interesting question. Just quickly, while we're on the topic of some trade discussion, Frank Saravalli today on Daily Faceoff Live said the Flames and Devils had more or less agreed to a deal for Jacob Markstrom. Markstrom was agreeing to go. Something fell apart. Man, the idea of the Flames moving Markstrom is fascinating. I don't know what or how much they'll get for him. I know, I think it was Eric Francis who maybe was the one talking about how it may have fallen apart due to like retained money. So that might have been the issue. But if you're the Flames, man, if you were willing to keep some of Jacob Markstrom, I would imagine if you're keeping money on someone like Markstrom who has two more years, you're getting an absolute haul for him. But
yeah. I wonder what that would even be. I wonder what they would be able to get out of New Jersey.
Jack Hughes.
Did you see Jack Hughes' comments?
No.
So yesterday, last night it won, right?
3-1, yeah.
Was. And he's like, yeah, it's crazy what happens when you get saves from your goalies.
He goes, a lot easier to win when you get saves.
Jeez,
right, wow, scathing.
Yeah, a bit harsh.
Team guy.
Which maybe lines up with the idea that they were close to getting Markstrom. Maybe Jack Hughes knows they were close to getting Markstrom and is trying to give management a little, come on, let's go. But Jacob Markstrom turns the Devils back into a cup contender, doesn't he? They probably also need a D-man, but someone's...
Where are they in the standings right now? They're not on a playoff spot.
Well,
no, it doesn't turn them into a cup contender. It makes them a playoff team for sure.
Dude, that...
Ooh. They're not in a playoff spot right now.
If they get Dougie Hamilton back for a playoff push?
Yeah, that'd be great. I think they're a really good team, but I just look and I think...
They are third in the... they're one spot out, I guess. Sorry. Yeah.
I just think them moving on from certain defensemen this past summer was a mistake. Like,
Graves moved out. Severson moved out.
I think it's fine to move on from one.
Graves was a tough one.
To move on from two, it's lot to give up.
And then Hamilton gets hurt. And then Siegenthaler gets hurt. Right. And Hughes has missed 16 games this year. So
yeah. You're asking a lot from, like, you look at the blue line. John Marino, Colin Miller, Kevin Ball. Ball?
Yeah.
Luke Hughes, Simon Nemec. I don't know how to say that name. And Nick DeSimone.
Who they picked up on waivers from Calgary, I believe. You know what scares me about the Flames and Devils talking is the Devils also need a D-man. And I'd be worried they make a lunge towards Chris Tanev.
I wonder if Tanev's part of that deal.
That's what I mean.
Or maybe they couldn't get Tanev and that's
what fell apart. Or maybe
let's just pull the trigger and get Tanev already. Just go get him.
$9 million in cap space right now, the Devils.
Go get Tanev. The love of anything.
I mean, maybe the Devils wanted Hanifin in this deal, right? Like maybe the deal could turn into something bigger is kind of what I'm thinking.
Hanifin would make a little bit more sense because he's a lefty, right?
Yeah.
Looking at that blue line, their right side, no means elite, but it's like John Marino, Colin Miller, and I'm pretty sure Luke Hughes is a righty, and Simon Nemec is also a righty.
Jeez, they're good on righties.
So their left side right now.
That kind of right-handed D depth?
Luke Hughes must play the left now. As a necessity, because that left side Dem would
flip him on his other side.
Kevin Ball,
flip him around.
If only a website like David Faceoff. They have Kevin Ball playing with Nemec.
Have you been to David Faceoff?
He was on the left side with John Marino and Santeri Hataka with Colin Miller.
So on.
Yeah, you forgot about Hataka.
Oh, I just didn't attempt it.
Ah, you looked at it. You're like, you know what?
Yeah.
Who's gonna know?
Didn't know how to say it.
fair enough. Fair enough. All right, there you go.
And even Liam Horvin.
Yeah, you're hosting today. Should we get to our big guest then, host? Is he here? He's here. All right. The Star Mechanical guest line for Edmonton's number one plumbing and heating company. They've been doing it for more than 20 years. A company you can trust with all of your plumbing and heating needs. Visit them online at starmechanical.ca. Stephen Ellis is our daily face-off prospect analyst and the most interesting man in the company. Mr. Ellis, what's been going on as of late? How's your sim racing league? What else you got going on?
There's been, I watched some Romanian hockey a few days ago. I watched some Serbian hockey. So, it's been busy.
What kind of website are you watching Serbian hockey on? And what else can you do on that website?
It would kill you if I had to tell you, I think. So I'm not going to give you that information.
You wrote a very nice piece over at dailyfaceoff.com as a part of our deadline countdown about teams who got some prospects to move. And you listed the Oilers in that group as well. I guess just in terms of where you ranked them, you had them sort of in your top five. Is this a comment that, hey, maybe the Oilers actually have some decent prospects? Or is this more a comment of like, oh, they should be willing to move the few they have?
It's definitely the latter. I still have the Oilers as one of my worst teams in terms of a prospect pipeline. And you guys watch the Oilers, you guys know the team. Like, you know, that's not really a shock. I like Dylan Holloway, a guy that you said earlier today on Daily Faceoff Live. I would not be trading him if you don't have to. But if that's the piece to get you what you need, in terms of whatever that actually has to be, that's the most attractive option, in my opinion, that they have. I know Frank said more on the Broberg side. I don't know. I don't love Broberg by any means. Just other guys that do so much of the same thing that he could do, but are better defensively, that if you were looking for a defenseman, that's not who I would go for. So, yeah, it's more of they should go all in every single year, as long as they've got Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. That's how I look at it.
It's fair. I mean, when you look though, so you had Holloway, you had Broberg, you had a guy like Xavier Bourgault as well, but you also had the first and the second round picks that they have coming up in the next few drafts, or the firsts they have in the next couple of drafts. If what would you be more comfortable with, I guess, if you were Ken Holland, moving the first or moving on from a prospect who's got a couple of years of development under him? Like, which way do you think they should lean?
Like, if I'm going in terms of Holloway, definitely, again, has the most value. Then you can argue the first-round pick. If it became down to moving the first-round pick or moving Philip Broberg, I'm moving Philip Broberg. Obviously, again, all of this has to be in play. Like, are you guys looking at this being an all-in year for the Oilers?
Yes. Every year is.
Yes.
Has to be.
Yeah. Like, again, I kind of just look at it as throw everything that it takes to make this happen. If you're throwing the first round pick, obviously this year's a very good draft in terms of, you know, especially on the defensive depth. But if the Oilers are, you know, picking, if they think that they're going to go as far as the conference final, those picks are not going to be worth as much this year. So I think in that case, again, just you got to throw everything on the table here.
What is Xavier Bourgault right now? I mean, you look at him in his draft class and you look at pick 23 and you see Wyatt Johnston, who's an everyday player for the Dallas Stars, and Bourgault looks nowhere to be close to being anywhere near the Oilers lineup right now. Is he having a good season? He has 16 points in 40 games.
Yeah, the offense isn't really coming in for him. I think he's a really smart player, and we saw that, you know, watching him the QMJHL a couple of years ago, this guy was one of the best players in that league, and late birthday in that case too. So I was still impressive there. I think it's just there's some deception levels in his game that can make him pretty good, but he's not showing it all the time. I think that he's when I watched him play back, I want to say it was early fall this year. The one thing I look about him is he's so good in like small area games. He's good under pressure, but the points are just not showing up. And that's the thing that's kind of losing it for me, talking to some scouts recently that said, you know, there's talent there. He could do a lot. It's just not working. Whether or not he could unlock that, I'm not totally sure. But again, I'm not very high on a lot of prospects in this Oilers system, and he doesn't really do a whole lot for me there.
You listed Matt Capone in there, and that's a guy who's, I think, far from being a household name, even just amongst Oilers fans, not a guy you hear a lot about or anything. Tell me a little bit about Matt Capone and why he cracked your little list.
Yeah, I guess the fact that he's a college player, you know, buys a bit more time, where if you're able to trade him and say, hey, look, you know, he's having a good season at Merrimack, it could be something where he's a bit of a long, you know, a long-term thing that could be valuable for teams that are looking more long-term here. So obviously, you know, he's not a household name. I'm looking at him as maybe a fifth, sixth best prospect in the system right now. And someone who went kind of a weird path to get to where he is. He was never really a highly rated prospect. I don't remember what draft round he was in at this point, but he was not a big guy. He went from AAA to prep. Like, he didn't exactly have this high profile thing for him. But I think what we've seen in the last couple of years is just he consistently gets better. He consistently looks more confident with the puck, and he's putting up some good numbers there. So someone that's willing to kind of wait a little longer could get a nice piece out of him if he's moved. He's not going to bring in a ton of value, but he's someone you could throw into a trade to add that extra value to take you over the hump there.
I love the line that you start the article with. The NHL trade deadline is where mistakes are made. You've written a couple other pieces about prospects that could be moved at the deadline. If you had to circle a prospect who's on a contending team who could maybe shake loose, who's the best candidate for the Philip Forsberg for Martin Erat Award, we'll call it. Is there one prospect that you're like super high on that's on a contending team that you're like, whatever you do, just don't move that guy?
Oh, don't move them all. I think the Jets would really be bummed if they moved Brad Lambert. I think the future is so bright there. I think a guy that a lot of people had him in his draft year in 2022 as a top three prospect at the start of the season, just things weren't working out for him, but he's just improved so much more. He's become so much more of a dangerous player. In terms of like kind of the other way around though, the Devils need to add a goaltender desperately. And you guys were talking about a few minutes ago. Jameis Casey's the guy that makes that happen. 5'9" defenseman, not big, but he hits hard, scores a lot, puts up great numbers. He kind of took over the role that Luke Hughes had at the University of Michigan. Someone like him is probably not a top pairing defenseman in the NHL and probably not a top pairing defenseman on the Devils specifically, but that's a guy you'd throw in and get a piece. But in terms of who you wouldn't want to trade at any point, don't trade Brad Lambert, Winnipeg. You're going to love him.
Fair. Yeah, maybe that's what Calgary's trying to...
Couldn't get
him. That'd be interesting.
No Markey for you.
Were you watching the Beanpot last night?
No. What was I doing last night? I watched the duel in the Detroit a couple days ago. That was pretty good. But I saw a couple of what Celebrini did. Celebrini's just... I hope he stays one more year in college just so we get him and Yzerman together. Because those two played together at Shattuck St. Marie. And Celebrini could go straight to the NHL. But man, if he was willing to just spend one more year in college, I think we would see one of the best college seasons we've ever seen.
What kind of first overall pick is Macklin Celebrini? I think we all recognize he's going to be the guy. But I know, I think you were the one who commented on DF Alive. I was you. He would have gone second overall last year. Like that kind of good. Is he right in that conversation with the Bedards and things like that?
Yeah, like he's a bit of a different player than, let's say, Adam Fantilli. And he played college last year, so we can kind of compare. And offensively, they're putting up very similar numbers. But when it comes to what Celebrini does, it's just... he's got that quick release, like a shot like what Bedard does. He's got that skill where if you watch that goal he scored to win bronze with Canada's under-18 team last year, he did it with an injured shoulder, and it was still like one of the nicest goals you saw all year long. He's talking to some scouts about what makes him so good is he thinks the game at such a high level. He's so quick. He adapts to things quickly. Came into college. It was like, how was he going to adjust to the physical side of things? Because, you know, he was dominant on the power play last year in Chicago Steel. Didn't always need to get physical, but he was throwing so many hits through World Juniors, through camp, through college. This looks like a guy that's so mature for his age. And there's a reason that he fast-tracked, because he technically wasn't eligible originally to play college this year, but he fast-tracked his school to be able to play a year early. And it's been so good for him because he's been in the weight room. He's worked with older players, and he's been able to benefit so much from that he's just... there's no evident flaw in his game. And you could see there were flaws in like Fantilli's game, for example. He would make some defensive mistakes. Or Leo Carlson, I don't think anyone kind of saw him as being this 90-point guy in the NHL. But when it comes to Celebrini, he's going to put up 90 points in a season. He's going to throw hits. He's going to play good defensive hockey. He's number one most of the years. Obviously, last year, you know, Bedard was the clear number one. He wasn't going to pass him there. But I do think that was not as far off as some people might think. They were pretty close.
You want to wrap it up?
Yeah. What do you make of this NCAA and CHL merger that seemed like it was going to happen and then yesterday seemed like it's nowhere close? Do you think this would be a good thing?
Yeah. More personally, I'd rather see the NHL, like AHL, CHL agreement kind of go away so players can go to AHL instead. I think with college, it was like, I don't think we were going to see those star players in the CHL go to college. Maybe it would have benefited someone like Matthew Savoy and what he's doing this year. And like, there's no point in him putting up these points. I know there's some people calling this a dead issue. Doesn't sound like that's fully the case because we could be looking at a legal case here. But this has been a topic that's come up so many times in the last 10 years. It's not going to go away. I do think eventually it's going to happen. But right now it's, I think for the sake of hockey, it would have been really cool to see some of those smaller programs really benefit from some, again, these CHL guys, because the USHL is still amazing. It's still going to send all those great guys. Like University of Michigan probably wouldn't be impacted too much, but I think the overall pool of competition would have been so much better, to the point where Like, it would have been good for the players. It would have been good for the programs. It's a shame it's not going to happen. I do think it will happen at some point. Maybe not now, maybe not in 5 years, but I just don't see it being something that's going to not happen at some point.
Always a pleasure having you on the show. Thanks for doing this, Stephen.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Stephen Ellis on the Star Mechanical guest line. Find them online, starmechanical.ca. Always good insight. Find his work at dailyfaceoff.com. Puck Pooley's podcast as well on the DFO YouTube. I'm going to parlay that conversation into our Sherwood Ford Giant question of the day, brought to you by Sherwood Ford and the mobile service van. It will come to customers in the Edmonton region for plenty of things, oil changes, winter tire swaps, whatever you need. Give them a ring, book it online. They also have the valet pickup and delivery services.
My favorite.
Plenty of reasons to make Sherwood Ford the Giant your next dealership. All right, gents, out of those, kind of, we'll call it, break them into the five assets: Holloway, Borgo, Broberg, Matt Capone, and the first and second round.
Where's
picks.
The chance? Where's Colby's boy?
I was asking about the bean pot because I was hoping he watched last night and could give us some insight into LeChance. But those five assets, which ones would you be okay with them moving?
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Everyone but Holloway.
Yeah.
So you're all right with them moving Broberg, because Frank kind of alluded to it being the other way, that no, Broberg's maybe the one you don't move when you move everything else because you got forwards and whatever.
Do they have forwards?
I think you can trade the highest on Broberg right now.
I mean, the highest would be Holloway.
I know, but like, in my world,
he's untouchable.
He's untouchable.
Untouchable.
In my world. Yeah. On Liam's roster, untouchable.
He's on my roster. He's my fourth line center.
Yeah. Holloway is untouchable. When someone like Bruce Kerlock, again, we like bringing on the guests.
Once again, who's coming back?
That's part of it, too. Like, I'm not moving. If Calgary goes, hey, we'll do Broberg for Tanev one for one, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing it for a rental. If I'm moving Broberg, I'm getting a guy with term.
Konechny.
Yeah, it's going to be the right deal. I don't know. Like, we've come this far with Broberg. I would like to see him play
for
the Edmonton Oilers. But I'm not worried about it. Like,
It's all in, man. Like, it's...
Yeah.
And I'm open to, like... I hate to say this. Like, I'm open to Dylan Holloway. It's Holloway. If it's the right...
If it gets you Konechny.
If it's the right thing. Because you're right. As long as you got Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl on your roster, like, we have to go all in. We have to go on deep runs. So it's not thinking about 5 years from now.
But you always need to keep a little bit of an eye on 2 years from now or next year.
But like, how did Tampa do it? They're just dealing picks and prospects.
Guys like Broberg and Holloway aren't 5 years from now. They're right now or next year. Like,
yeah, but you have to move on from one of them.
I think you can maybe accomplish what you need to with just picks. Move Boakye.
But I like Bo, but yeah, you might have to.
But he's a shinier because he's got the new prospect shine on him, right? Like, who actually is more important or would be more impactful to the Oilers, Boakye or Philip Broberg?
But fair. And I guess, but thinking about now, put your acquiring, like the team you're doing a deal with, who do you want?
Yeah, that's fair.
And how do you push him? Like, Boakye's like a throw in, a sexy throw in.
Yeah. All right, let's continue along. Let's get back into the Sherwood Ford Giant game day swing of things here. Let me give you my game notes for today, brought to you by Tourism Jasper. The theme of game notes today is the Oilers' lack of 5-on-5 scoring coming out of the All-Star break. The Oilers have been held without a 5-on-5 goal in two of the three games since returning from the break. In their last five games, they only have five goals at 5-on-5.
We have a 4-on-5 goal, though, for God's sake.
We do have a shorty, which, sure, that'll help. That's
worth a lot. Someone say that is mildly harder than a 5-on-5.
Jason Greger writes his game notes at OilersNation.com every single game day. You can go there and check it out. But he had an interesting note in there. The Oilers are ranked number one on any site that tracks expected goals, whether it's SportLogic, Natural Statric, whatever. The Oilers are number one. It doesn't matter the formula. Greger says the Oilers have created the most chances, but they haven't been able to finish enough of their quality chances. I think that is bang on, man. When you look 100%. At that game against the LA Kings, crossbar, Corey Perry backdoor, can't raise the puck. Like, they need to start burying some chances. And this was an issue during the winning streak. Again, when was the last time they scored more than four goals in a game? It's still that first game in January.
And tonight.
Well, you're going up against a Red Wings team that is been outshot or tied in shots in five consecutive games. So they've been giving up some looks, haven't been outchancing the opposition. They've allowed 9 5-on-5 goals against in their last five games. So almost averaging 2 5-on-5 goals against per game. If there was a team who you could maybe get rolling against 5-on-5 scoring wise, it is the Detroit Red Wings.
Good PK or decent PK.
Good PK. Give up a decent amount of goals, though. They do score a lot, and they have a tendency to outscore their problems. Another thing working in their favor to wrap up game notes is Alex Lyon, who's been playing pretty good, a 917 save percentage over the last 15 games. He's 3-1-1 in his last five with just 13 goals against in that span. So he's been playing some pretty good hockey.
Good get.
Just pick him up, not even pick him up off the scrap heap. He played so well for Florida, and then randomly no one wanted him again in the summer. Yeah. Alex Lyon, 921 save percentage on the year. That is
another one that just, was on the global radar, but just was not on our radar.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's get into our keys to victory then for tonight. Sherwood Power Sports and Marine. For me, they got to get scoring. And one guy I'm looking at is Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. He has not scored a 5-on-5 goal in 13 consecutive games. He is one of those guys that they need to get going, because when Nuge is humming, that means the top six is humming along and the Oilers are scoring. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, find the back of the net. Oilers, start scoring at 5-on-5. That is my key to victory for Sherwood Power Sports and Marine. Liam, you got one?
Yes, I do. Third line to score a goal is my key to victory. If that happens, surely somebody else gets one, right? Probably not from the fourth line, but...
So I want to see Nuge score to spark the 5-on-5 scoring. You want to see the third line do it?
Yeah, contribute offensively.
Okay.
I guess we're just going to pick on lines here. I'm excited and want to see the second line start bearing some of their chances. They were creating. They were hard to play against. They were like owning possession, for large stretches there. So... get them to actually bury on some of those chances that they're creating and those opportunities and, cakewalk.
Yeah. Brad Neske says, Tyler, the Oilers scored 5 on Friday. Yes, they did get the empty netter, which pushed them to 5 goals, but I would hardly call that game against the Ducks an offensive explosion. I still want to see a little bit more, but you're correct. They have now scored 5 or more goals twice in the last month and a half.
The 2.5, though. I needed the 2.5.
Oh, yeah. You were really chasing the juice, hey?
Well, it's a shitty game to bet on. Yeah. You gotta chase the juice.
All right, there you go. Keys to victory brought to you by Sherwood Power Sports and Marine, opening up in spring of 2024. And it will be your home for everything Yamaha boats, boat motors, dirt bikes, ATV side-by-sides, and motorcycles right in the heart of Sherwood Park, and everything you need to get up on your Yamaha gear, Sherwood Power Sports and Yamaha. Marine. Yamaha. All right. Continuing along. Should we bet? Should we do some bets?
Always.
Let's do...
Oh, the challenge. We got a challenge. Yeah,
Betway Game Day Betting Challenge. I still suck at it. So, I'll keep grinding away. Do we have the updated one for today?
I am just eroding. No,
this is the old one.
No, that's the new one.
That's not what I thought I was doing. You didn't change mine.
I was making my lineup.
Okay.
Too busy watching the crew game.
Yeah, probably. All right, well, you can flash it up anyways. Mine's not right, but Jay and Liam's are. Your Jay, what do you like tonight?
Once again, I think the Oilers will score a bunch, but you know, we're coming out of, you know, we're in kind of an uncertain time. So definitely picking the Oilers to win over 5.5 goals at 2-1.
Is you just got to see one go through the hoop.
It's just nice. Also, keep an eye on, I'm going to be sprinkling on, I know it's not a two bet segment, but Ekholm's overdue for a goal.
Well, you can only pick one. So you're going money line and the over. Liam, what do you like?
With an Ekholm backup.
I like Oilers to win. Drysdale 2 plus points for plus 200.
All
second
right.
Second line was good.
I am just trying to see one go through the hoops. I'm not even chasing the juice. Evan Bouchard, over 2.5 shots on goal. He had 5 against the LA Kings. I think the power play will get some looks on home ice tonight. The Red Wings give up a decent amount of shots. They like getting outshot. So I'm going to go with Bouchard over 2.5 shots at plus 115.
Wow, his shot prop has not been hitting recently.
Well, it hit last game, so I think he's trending in the right direction.
Before that, he had 2 shots in 4 games.
Well, looks
combined?
Like
he,
combined.
Yeah, he wasn't exactly ripping the pill there for a little bit. But to be fair to him, he was hitting a lot of posts. I think he's got a post in back-to-back games or 3 posts in his last 2 games or something like that. So I think he's getting itchy. So I think we'll see Bouchard throw
a ball of the iron. That. Too much iron in your diet.
Too much iron in his diet. So there you go. The game day betting challenge for our friends at Betway 19+. Please play responsibly. Wendy's Survivor game. Anybody still kicking?
I am, because I did not go with your pick yesterday.
I had Vegas Golden Knights over 30.5 shots on goal. They finished with 30. Are you kidding me?
I had New Jersey Devils goal in the first period.
You still in?
No, I'm out. I bet that's the exact same thing as you.
Actually, oh, you did?
So I was super pissed.
So Liam, what do you like tonight?
Let me see what I picked. I think I Flash went bomb. With a little bit of a crazy one here. Let me check. Yeah, I went Tyler Seguin point.
He's having an unbelievable year.
Low key.
He's almost at 20 goals already.
42 points in 52 games.
I think that's a...
That's not bad.
Yeah.
Right? That's what I clicked.
16% of the peeps are rolling with you.
Yeah. A lot of the public rolling with Boston to beat Tampa. I don't like betting against the Bolts. Not that they've had a great season by any means, but
it
still.
Is in Boston, though.
Yeah, okay. That's fair.
San Sergachev.
Mm-hmm. Boy, if I had a pick, Liam, I think I would go with what you're doing there with Tyler Seguin, and that might be a curse. So
that's not good for me. I might have to change it.
Oh, D cards. To be fair, Vegas hit 5 posts yesterday, so that makes me feel even better. If one of those posts would have just been a shot on net, I would have still been alive, still well, kicking.
If Brock Purdy didn't kneel, you know, for that half yard.
Did that happen in the Super Bowl?
He what?
His
prop missed because of his
prop missed because his kneel.
Oh wow!
Took a knee.
Right at the end of regulation.
Right at the end, yeah.
Dude, I got screwed. I had a parlay of Moneyline Chiefs, McCaffrey touchdown, over 47.5 points. Oh. Finished with 47 because they don't kick the extra point.
I will give you something one worse.
Please do.
I had a plus 1,100 5-leg prop parlay, and it required MVS. To get 22 yards or something. And he elected to run backwards after he caught that ball, which would have got me to hit the prop.
Yeah. And all he had to do was go down.
Just
and
it would have
been like a 5-yard game.
He ended up losing like 8 yards. He lost 4 yards on the play. Yeah. So it was like an 8-yard delta or more.
Yeah. And that was
killed me. I couldn't believe it. Like
that was earlier, right? Yeah.
There was my prop.
He would have, that he's lucky they won because that play would have been talked about a lot more if they had lost.
But it all goes down to the blocked point after.
Yeah.
Shout out defense.
Tearing his Achilles.
Just running on the field.
That was crazy. Like from that point on, if you were a 49ers money line better, you should have known.
Yeah.
You weren't going to win. Cash out.
Cash out. Live bet the Chiefs.
Whatever it was, even if you're down.
Oh, I live bet the comeback. Plus 290. Thank you.
That's juicy.
I live bet it plus 200 too.
I just took them before OT. Still cash, but I didn't get the payout you did. Okay, we're going to wrap up the show with the menu for our friends at DoorDash. 25% off, zero delivery fees on your first order of $15 or more. All you need to do is download the DoorDash app and enter the promo code NATION25. Dash that for the win with restaurants, groceries, and more delivered right to your door with DoorDash. New episode of Oilers Nation Radio will drop a little bit later on this afternoon. Pre-gaming with Boardsy at 6 o'clock tonight since it is a 7 o'clock puck drop. And who's on post-game with you?
I haven't even looked at the schedule.
Yeah, all right.
we know. We should make it. Oh, yes, go ahead. But we should make an AZ announcement.
Well, yeah, I was just going to say, going through the week here on Thursday, Liam and I are going to be doing a watch along for the game against the St. Louis Blues. So you can tune in live on the Oilers Nation YouTube, the return of our Betway watch parties.
Yes, because they play only home games for the rest of the month.
And we like doing them for road games. So yeah. Liam and I and guests will be live for the entire game against the St. Louis Blues.
Chris Osgood will be there.
Doubtful.
You never know.
Still leaving us on red. Classic Osgood, though. It's just a bit. But we are doing a watch party. Yeah, Dackie says, hell yeah, I love the watch along. We'll do a watch party on or a watch along on Thursday. And then heading into the weekend, the Oilers play the Stars, that matinee on Saturday. And
not at 10:30 in the morning.
Not at 10:30, 1 o'clock in the or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, whatever the hell it was.
Well, we
can't read.
Be in Phoenix that day.
Nope. No, we leave Sunday morning.
Really? Oh, yeah, that's right. Yep. I'll be at the Scotties on Saturday.
Of course you will.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense.
In Calgary.
Jennifer Jones, happy retirement to Jennifer Jones. Yep.
Oh, really?
She'll be done at the end of the season.
She's hanging up the cleats.
Retiring from, well, the slider. Retiring from four-person curling is Jennifer Jones. So
she'll go into the mix?
I think she'll do mixed doubles, yeah.
It seems to be the way for a lot of these.
Friend of the show, John Morris, does that.
He also does the two-person curling.
That's, yeah, mixed doubles.
Oh.
So there you go, big curling.
Does anyone even really know what the hell they're talking about?
Arizona announcement, Jay.
Yes. So for those of you in Arizona that are with us on the Nation vacation or not with us, but are there and are going to the game, we'll announce the destination where, but we have landed a pregame and postgame hospitality partner. We will be doing live shows for pregame and live shows for postgame.
I heard it's only Gavin said, 5 minute walk to the rink. I think we can make it in three.
It's one of the closer bars to the rink. And so we'll set up shop very early. We'll have a fun live show. We'll bring some stuff to give away for people in attendance. But I'm really looking forward to it. So shout out Gavin for getting that organized in short order.
Yeah. I think we might even, I was thinking maybe we do a bit of a longer show, just do like pre-gaming ON everyday hybrid and just bring it right up.
It ended a little bit early because I want to make sure we enjoy it. Like everyone gets to enjoy the game.
So maybe we'll start, we're planning now live on the air, but we'll do 90 minutes leading right up or 90 minutes before the game. And we'll wrap it up 30 minutes before the game.
Yeah. Just tight and then throw the equipment in the closet and come back
and we'll have post game.
Break down a dub.
There you go. I like that. All right. Big stuff. Whether you're in Arizona and you want to come to the bar, keep it locked on where we're going to be going. If you're watching along, we will have pre and post game coverage live from Zona after watching the Oilers at the Mullet Arena. All right.
Are you going to the game tonight?
No, I'm not.
I'm going to the game. I'm excited. I've been to a game in a while.
Yeah, I haven't been to a game in a long time either. But did they win last time you went?
When did I go last? Just wait. It was during the sixth game heater. It was the January 4th. Yes, of course they won.
Okay. Also, people keep saying you're not wearing socks.
I'm wearing short socks.
Yeah, like that's the play, everybody. Wear short socks.
It's the Liam's no sock look, yo.
That's my Detroit Lions socks.
People were like, Doug Waite was in there and he was like,
Doug Waite.
Yeah, he was like, wear some socks, Jay. It's gross. You don't know fashion.
Doug Waite understands the no socks sock game.
Are those your Detroit Lions socks?
Yes. Nice. My silver pants.
RIP.
Doug Waite also said, where are most of your tickets located in Arizona? We're sitting in the den.
We're sitting in the den, boy.
Sitting in the den. It's going to be a lot of fun. All right. That is a wrap on today's edition of the show. A short for giant game day edition of things. New episode of Oilers Nation Radio. Dropping in a little bit.
Devil's advocate, JBD. You might be right.
Oh, the bar. Ah, a little
I was trying to look.
Oh, Liam has a map of Scottsdale.
I was trying to measure 5 minutes. Couldn't find it. I didn't know which way to go.
What are you using to measure? No.
Just my eyes. And
5 minutes in any direction of the...
Remember, it's the guy who uses a stone to determine his weight.
There. All right, that's a wrap on today's edition of the show. For our friends at Sports Closet, Charm, Diamond Centers, Tourism Jasper, Sherwood Ford at the Giant Service Credit Union, Stephen Ellis on the Star Mechanical Guest Line, Sherwood Power Sports and Marine, Betway, DoorDash, and the Wendy's Survivor Game. Enjoy the game tonight. We'll chat with you again on pre-gaming and then again tomorrow at 12:01 Mountain.
Thank you for watching Oilers Nation every day. Hit the subscribe button to never miss a show.
And for more, visit OilersNation.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.